Hello, hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Hi, today is July 16th, 2007, and today we're talking about Norway, the Scandinavian country. And my name's Chris Newton. I'm one of the co-hosts, and my other co-host, Jerry Fuller. How you doing, Jerry?
Fantastic.
Hi, great. Yeah, and we have a pleasure that you just visited Norway, didn't you, Jerry? You just
Yes, we spent the last 3 weeks, well, not last week, but 3 weeks before that in Norway.
Oh,
And my wife
excellent.
and I did and had a fabulous time.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah.
And we do
Well,
want to thank Cheryl Taylor for being the co-host while I was gone.
yeah.
And so she was just fabulous.
Yeah, she did a great job. We talked about Egypt a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and then shopping around the world, and then about Israel travel advice. And so and we just want to let our listeners know that this is a place where you can actually email your question to us at show@traveladviceshow.com and on our website traveladviceshow.com. And you can call in and give your questions, and we'd really like to help you out on giving you great travel advice around the world. We're really excited. Welcome back, Jerry. Yeah, and some of the things that I've heard about Norway, I've never been to Norway myself, but I understand it is very expensive to travel to Norway. Is that true, Jerry?
Well, let me tell you, this is my 13th trip to Norway.
Oh, wow.
I've been going to Norway for, well, I don't know, maybe 40 years,
Oh,
and something like that. And I was stunned at the cost of things. In fact, they told us now that Norway has surpassed Japan for being the most expensive country in the world to visit. And my wife and I have been to many, many places, and we were stunned. I mean, we hadn't been there very long. Because of jet lag and we were tired for our first lunch, we went to have a hamburger. We thought, let's just have a hamburger. And so we went to a place called the Red Onion there in Oslo. And
Ooh, okay,
it's a
right.
little, it sounds fun, doesn't it? Red Onion?
The Red Onion.
A little a little restaurant. And they serve hamburgers and hot dogs and just had one table, a little mom and pop type of a thing, right in the heart of Oslo. And we go in there and the hamburger. It was $10.
$10, really?
$11.
$11.
$11. And
Oh,
the French fries were $4.
Oh my
And a bottle
God.
of pop, we had Solo, which is sort of an orange Solo, which is like an orange Fanta. It's really, really delicious. If you like orange Fanta, you'll love Solo. But it was $4 also.
Oh
So we're
my God.
talking $19 each. To have a French fry hamburger and a soda.
Oh my gosh, wow, I've never
But,
heard that before. Wow,
well,
that is, jeez.
but then we should have had the torture, shock over with before that because from the train station, we took the train from Oslo airport. It's $100 to $120 for taxi fare from the airport to downtown. So we took the train,
Wow.
which still was about 30 something dollars each. And then we took a taxi. About 6 blocks, and it was $23.
Wow, 20, jeez, man. I wonder why do you think it's so expensive? Did you guys find out it's just the currency exchange, or is it just kind of like the price in Norway? Everything is just really taxes. Do they pay a lot of taxes on that?
They
Or?
pay 30% tax.
Oh, okay.
I think they said 30% tax. Everybody pays that on their income. But
Oh.
we never found out a real reason.
Oh, okay.
I know up north, their fishing isn't quite as much as it was, and did a lot of things, but they had discovered a natural gas
Oh.
north of the Arctic Circle. So they're ecstatic about that to bring some more money in. But prices are astronomically expensive. And I every dinner that we ate, and we did not have liquor, we didn't even have coffee, I mean, it was $100. For both of us and up just for a normal dinner.
Really? Like
I,
just a,
yeah,
wow, oh my
just a
gosh.
normal dinner. I mean, fish and a salad and a soup and
Oh my
50,
gosh.
$60 a person.
Wow.
Yeah. And then,
That is that I mean, yeah, that's I've never heard that before, like something like that. Wow.
and then the last night in Bergen, I had, nachos. I thought, let me try some nachos in Norway. And they actually were quite good. I love nachos. And they were very good, but they were $24 for nachos.
Oh, God. Oh man, they got to be really, really good, you know? Yeah.
Well, they're not really, really good, but they were excellent for Norway.
Yeah.
And you know, in Texas, if we'd had that, they'd have been okay. But yes, it's very expensive. Nothing was cheap. Nothing was even partially cheap.
Jeez. Okay.
I mean, it was. Everything was just triple the price of anywhere else you'd ever been, practically. So, I mean, if you go to Norway, make sure you take twice the money you think you're going to take and take credit cards. And in the bigger cities like Bergen and Oslo and Trondheim and Tromsø, some of these places, they may say they take Visa and MasterCard, but they're not an international Visa or MasterCard. They will only take it for Norwegians.
Oh, okay.
Like, I went to the swimming pool in Trondheim to swim some laps. But we're there, and it was $15 to go in, and $3 to rent the a dollar and a half to rent the locker, and they took Visa and MasterCard, but they wouldn't take my international Visa, you know, the normal one that we have in America and other places.
Right.
They wouldn't take it because they only take the Norwegian version. So I had to pay cash, which is fine, but it was astronomically expensive to go swimming. The pool is magnificent, absolutely one of the best pools I've ever swam in.
Really?
So take a lot of money, and and they have ATM everywhere.
Oh, okay.
And but you can't get much money out of them at any one time. That was the one thing that bothered most of the people that we most tourists there. You couldn't get much at a time. Let me think. The most you could get probably was 400 or 500 kroner, and it's six to the dollar. So how much is that? $60, $70.
Yeah, right.
But that's the most you can get at a time at a ATM machine. So, and most everywhere that we tried, I tried to get $300 one time, and it just laughed at me. And so we had to come back. So it takes a lot of money.
Okay.
It's expensive, but it's worth every penny.
Yeah.
And, never complained 1 minute.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And one of the famous things about Norway, too, did you guys get a chance to see the fjords, the fjord area there? Or what, I mean, can you, maybe we can explain to our listeners what a fjord is. It's just...
Basically, if you were out at sea looking at the coastline, it would just look very mountainous and very rugged.
Oh, okay.
But what it is, it seems like to me that every 15 feet, and I'm exaggerating tremendously, they have a little finger that goes bopping off into the mountains, goes inland, and it's really maybe every 3 or 4 or 5, 10 miles. But they have hundreds of fjords there in Norway. The whole coast from Oslo is in a fjord. It's not on the ocean. It's in a fjord at the end of the fjord. So is Bergen. Most of the cities in Norway are at the end of a fjord or in a fjord.
Oh, they're not on the main coast there, yeah.
No, they're not on the main coast. And that's one thing that most people don't understand. There are hundreds of fjords. Some of them go in a long ways, 10 miles or more. Some of them only go in a mile. And most of them are kind of straightish, but they sort of turn and twist, and most of them are spectacular. Some of the ones, I want to mention one of them. There's a lot of them, and I'm going to mention several of them. But one that most everybody has to do is they go to Bergen, and which is on the west coast, southwest coast, or what they'll do, there's a train ride, which my wife, she had never been to Norway. The only Scandinavian country she'd never been to, and she does many times, and just never get to Norway.
Oh,
but
wow.
Basically, so we took the train from Oslo to Bergen, but we stopped in Voss, this little town, pretty close to Bergen, not that close, but maybe an hour out, and then there's Voss, and then in Voss, you will take the Fram Railroad down to the Sogne Fjord area, and this is a day trip. So we went down and got off in Voss and took the Fram, F-L-A-M, Railroad down into the fjord and stayed there and had a wonderful time. It's absolutely magnificent. And it's one of the longest fjords in the world, and you can see it by boat and all that. It's really beautiful, and everybody does it. It is the number one fjord I think most people visit because you can get to it easily from Bergen. It's a day trip from Bergen if you don't want to overnight down there.
Okay.
And you can do it in a day trip, I don't recommend it, from Oslo. Shit overnight down there.
Okay. Hey, Jerry, looks like we have a caller here. Hello.
Hi, yes, is this the Travel Advice Show?
Yes, it is. Yeah, this is the Travel Advice Show. Yeah, hi, how are you?
Hi, yes, hello. I was just calling, I was wondering, I was just going to make my question a little brief, if you could comment at all on the fishing in Norway, if there's any sort of fishing, you know, tour perhaps you could take through Northern Europe. And, yeah,
they have tons of fishing in Norway. You can do deep-sea fishing from the major areas all the way up the coast in the Arctic Circle, or a lot of people will go on the inside, the inland part, and go trout fishing. And they
really?
Go fly fishing? Yes. While we were in Oslo, at our hotel, we met at breakfast a bunch of, I think, about five men from America that were over there, and they were leaving right after breakfast to go approximately 150 miles inland north of Oslo on the way to Trondheim, about halfway between Trondheim and Oslo. And there was a fishing camp, and there were several rivers, and they were going to fish in the rivers for trout and a couple of other fish I can't remember. But it's a package that they did here. And I noticed several companies that did it. And I know when we were in Bergen and Oslo and some of the other cities that they have fishing boats. It'd be more of a deep-sea fishing type of an experience. And you're just lining the harbors, and you just go fishing. So, yeah, they have tons of fishing, all kinds of fishing there. Mountain fishing, river fishing, ocean fishing.
Okay. Yeah, Jerry, I heard, like, in Norway, you know, how are the different types of accommodations in Norway there, you know, that... from different inexpensive to expensive kind of accommodations?
Well, they have the whole gamut, as they do in Europe. They do have bed and breakfast, B&Bs, and youth hostels, and all kinds. But the ones that I find that most people, particularly if they're 30 and older, will want to be staying in, because there's most of these. One, a chain is called the Thon, T-H-O-N, Hotel.
T-H-O-N, okay, T-H-O-N, okay.
And these are... hotels that are probably three-star, but they're all over Norway. It's a Norwegian chain, and they maybe have five of them just in Bergen and five in Oslo or something like that, and they're all over the place. And they're very nice. They have a free breakfast, a buffet breakfast, including meats and cereals and all kinds of things, juices. And then they have televisions, flat screen big televisions, and they're very nice hotels, and they're very well located. Like the ones in Oslo and Bergen are all over the city, so whichever part you want to stay in the longest or most, I just choose one of them. When we stayed in one of those and in Oslo and really liked it. Now, there's another chain, that not really a chain, but an association. It's called the Historic Hotels of Norway.com. And as a result, these hotels are magnificent. Some of them are very old, that have been refurbished and modernized. They're small. They're more boutique-ish hotels. Most have no more than maybe 20 rooms, something like that.
That's something I would like, I think. Yeah,
they're all kinds. Some are modern, some are older looking, and they're all very, very service-oriented. And they range all the way from inland, like in the areas where you want to go skiing or fishing. We were talking about fishing.
Yeah.
They have some that specialize along the rivers and things like that. Some of them are on the fjords where your rooms overlook it. Some have swimming pools. Some have wonderful spas. And it's part of an organization that's called Historic Hotels of Europe. And they do have a website, historichotelsofeurope.com. And there's hotels, historic hotels of Spain, of France, of Italy, of Portugal, of England, and all over. And it's an organization. They have to meet a certain standard. And if you want to stay in something that's more... a local, and they're all locally owned and managed by families, sometimes been there for a long time, try the Historic Hotels of Norway. We love them, and very, very nice. Of course, they have Radisson Hotels and Hilton's, and they have everything else there also. But and they're all good. We didn't see one dump of a hotel in all of Norway. They've got one of them. I can't remember the name. Many of the towns, as you go on the fjords, will have these little red, little individual cottages, most of them are, and they're right along the bank. Some only have 4, 5, or 6 rooms,
oh.
And they hold up to 6 or 7 people, and they're right on the water overlooking it. And some of them actually have the boats that are attached to them that you can go out and fish. And I can't remember the name. But if anyone is interested, they can email us, and we'll get the name of them. It's a chain. My wife said the next time we go, that's where we're staying.
Oh, really?
And at least I can see a couple of them as we go up, because they really are neat, and the location's perfect, right on the water.
Oh, that's
it used to be fishing cabins.
Okay. Where the fishermen would stay. When they're
right.
Fishing. Okay.
Yeah, and they just turned them into hotels. And it's a chain. Like Hilton or Sheraton. But it isn't bad, of course. But it starts with an L or a Y or something. It's very interesting. I can't even pronounce it. That's why I can't remember it. But it's very interesting. And so there's a wide options for them to do it, to stay. And I highly recommend it, trying a wide variety of them.
Okay. It sounds very unique, too. Like a lot of, you'll probably get a real local feel, too. They sound like you want to feel that you're in the community there, you know.
Well, most of the towns and cities there in Norway are very, very small.
Oh, are they?
The third largest only has 160,000. Trondheim has 160,000 people in the third largest city of Norway.
Oh, jeez.
And most of the towns only had like 1,000, 2,000, something like that. And some of the fishing villages that we went through on the cruise only had like 500.
Oh, jeez.
And yeah, so Oslo, of course, is the largest, and it's huge. And Bergen is the second largest, and it's huge. But they're not so huge that you can't walk them. I mean, I was bored one afternoon. I should say bored. How can you be bored in Oslo? But I was. I only went to see again because my wife had never been. She wanted to see the Kon-Tiki and the Ra Museum, Thor Heyerdahl's two boats that went from Chile to Tahiti and from Morocco to the, I think, to Barbados in the Caribbean. And it both of them are in a museum. She wanted to see that. She wanted to see the Nobel Prize Peace Center there in Oslo.
Oh, okay.
And it's right there on the harbor. You can't help but see it. It's sort of a museum type of a thing. It's not where they actually give the prizes and the awards, but it's where the sort of the headquarters are.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful building right there on the harbor. But the rest of it, there's hundreds of museums in Oslo and Bergen. And I didn't want to see them, and my wife saw a couple. She had already seen them, and they're very nice. There's nothing wrong with them, but I wouldn't believe. So I walked Oslo, and in 3 hours, I had walked all over what they call the central part of Oslo. Very, very small.
Wow, okay.
And Bergen is very small also. You can walk it in an hour and a half. I mean, just every street in downtown Bergen. And, of course, you have the suburbs which go out for quite a ways, but the town part is very small.
Oh, nice. Well, that's great. Yeah. So, and in the wintertime and all the different seasons in Norway, the midnight sun, right, is in the wintertime there?
No. The midnight sun is in the summer.
In the summer. Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have the northern lights,
okay.
The aurora borealis in the winter.
Okay. Right.
And the midnight sun is a midnight sun.
Yes.
I mean,
right.
If from about the end of April until about the end of July,
okay.
The sun doesn't set.
Oh, geez.
It's light. And we were there at the peak of it, and at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, you could read a book outside.
Oh.
It is like 7 or 8 o'clock at night here in America at the end of June. And very, very bright. And in fact, the curtains of the hotels and the cruise ship are black lined to keep the light out.
Oh,
so that so you can sleep. And, but in the wintertime, they have the aurora borealis and darkness. It's pitch black. Well, as you go farther north, it's pitch black about 23 hours in the day. And then as you come down, it's pitch black. It's dark about 21 hours of the day. And but when it's light, you're not seeing the sun too much. In fact, you may only, it's just light enough that you can see. It's not, they may say a little bitty sun on the horizon as you get farther south in Oslo and Bergen, but it's still dark. You have to have your headlights on.
Jeez, wow, okay.
At noontime. For about 2.5, 3 months out of the year. And then the rest of the year, it sort of gets lighter, just like it does everywhere else, or it starts to get darker again. But so it's a real interesting experience. I've been twice in the winter. And main reason you go in the winter is to just experience it, number one, and to see the reindeer in the winter and ride the snowmobiles and the horse-drawn sleigh through some of the towns, and it really is kind of neat. Thing. Oh, we didn't talking about the winter. Alta has an igloo hotel. You stay in igloos, and they even have hot tub and all this stuff there. And at this hotel, it's really a neat thing. It's up near the ski resort of Alta. And we had friends that we met on this trip that went last winter to go skiing and snowmobiling up in Alta, which is in northern Norway. And then they came back in the summer to see the different experience. But they stayed in the igloo hotel. And there's only three of them that I know of. One is in northern Canada. One, of course, is in Norway. And the other one, which is the most famous in the world, is in Finland. And it's in northern Finland, and it is extremely famous. And you can stay there just about year-round. I think you stay there year-round now. But you couldn't. When I stayed there, it only was open about 8 months out of the year. But that's it. That's another hotel option that, if you're in the winter. And check to see if they're open in the summer. I didn't check the summer. I really should have. Oh. Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, great.
So well, if somebody wants to contact us, email or phone, we can definitely give them the name of the hotels and what to do and how to contact them.
Okay.
But yes, this Midnight Sun and the Aurora Borealis, winter and summer, and that's will really go there to experience it. Because there are very few places that you can see the Aurora Borealis as phenomenally as in Norway. In fact, in the winter, most of their visitors are from Japan. Because the Japanese say that if you see and experience Aurora Borealis, you have peace and everything will go well for you.
Oh.
I know when I was in Yellowknife and went up to see the, a couple of years ago in January to see the Aurora Borealis, everyone there except about three of us were Japanese.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, there must have been 100 Japanese up in this lodge in northern Canada to see this. And they say that there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Japanese that come in the wintertime. Only for the Aurora Borealis there in Norway. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. That is. That's, I would be amazed by that. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty wild how they go there.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, Jerry. Well, yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, and the types of cuisine there, I know the cheese. I've had the Norwegian cheese before. It's like that kind of brown cheese, ski queen there. And how did you like the cuisine there? Was a lot of fish and a lot of, you know, it was...
Well, I gained 4 pounds in the 20 days we were there, and my wife lost 5 pounds.
Whoa, okay.
She hates fish, abhors fish. And probably 80% of the dishes for dinner and lunch are fish.
Fish-based,
and, a kind of fish. It can be whale, it can be cod, and it can be all kinds of fish. It can be baked, fried, any way that we serve it here, too, or raw. A lot of raw fish. It's been marinated, but raw,
oh.
And a lot of pickled herrings and stuff like that.
Oh.
And she hated it.
Oh.
But I don't dislike it. I love fish. I don't say I want to have the raw fish every day, and I don't want whale every day. But the food was very good, I thought. The bread was divine.
The bread.
Oh, I would have 3 or 4 pieces of bread, toast, with peanut butter and honey or their local jams or strawberry jams. They have wonderful berries up there. Oh, and they turn them into jams. And fantastic. And their ice cream is wonderful. Rich. Their milk is really thick. And they've got a thing up there called vanilla cream. It's sort of half and half, but a little thicker than half and half. And they throw real French vanilla in the flavoring in it.
Ooh,
and it's not the cheap stuff. It's real. And I would pour it on cake, pour it on the ice cream. I poured it on my cereal. I absolutely loved it then.
That's great.
And that was good. And, of course, I gained the 4 pounds because I ate that food. But if you ate like a normal human being and didn't have 8 pieces of bread during the day because their rolls for lunch and dinner were fabulous, so I'd have 2 or 3 of those hogs every meal. And if you didn't do that, if you ate normally, you'd lose weight because they're very healthy food. I had... Now, last night in Bergen, my wife, and my wife last night too, she said, I can't have any more fish. I'm going to gag. I'm going to die. I can't stand this. And I said, well, okay. So there's a place called Pepe's Pizza. Can you imagine such a thing? P-E-P-P-E apostrophe as pizza? And they're all over Norway, all over in the bigger area, all over. And there's not just one in Oslo. There's several in Bergen and Oslo, and the other towns have one. But Pepe's Pizza. Said, let's go have a pizza. I said, okay. So we go there, and it's more like a Chili's, like we have in America, a Chili's, or I don't want to say Denny's.
Applebee's,
it's not.
Maybe, or something?
Yeah, like an Applebee's. It's, you know, higher grade, and I don't mean anything wrong with Denny's, but it's a different type of restaurant. It's not a breakfast restaurant, but it's more like a Chili's and Applebee's, and
okay.
It's almost a TGIF.
Okay.
Not quite TGIF, but they do have liquor in it. The pizza, but they do have pizza and salads, and what I ordered was nacho.
All right.
And I thought, you know, let's try this nacho here in Norway, because I love nachos. Mm-hmm. And out comes this nacho, which cost a fortune. It cost $24 for these nachos. But anyway, it was not huge, but it was big enough, and it was delicious, absolutely delicious.
Oh, wow.
And then, now what I'm heading on is their cheese. They throw different cheeses than we use here in America for nachos.
Oh.
And their cheeses are for breakfast. They serve tons of kinds of cheeses. And one morning on the ship, well, more than one morning, and I saw it at the restaurant because they have breakfast is included in most of the hotels. They would serve a waffle. I love waffles. But these are cold, soggy waffles, okay? And they have a piece of brown stuff on them. At first, I thought it was peanut butter.
Oh, right.
So I took it, the peanut butter, and I took a bite and I was gagged. What it was brown cheese.
Oh, right, the brown, yeah, the, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
On this soggy waffle. So when I took the first bite, I almost threw it out because I thought, yeah, what horrible peanut butter. But then somebody said, oh, you don't like that? And I said, what is it? And they said, it's brown cheese. And I said, oh, okay. Then it wasn't so bad when I knew it was cheese and not peanut butter. But the brown cheese has a very distinct taste. I didn't want to find out why it's brown. I didn't ask why it was brown, and I didn't want to know why it's brown. It's almost the color of old peanut butter, and a brownish, creamish color, but brown. And I hope they didn't put blood or something like it in it. I have no idea why they made it brown, but it's good. It's not bad, but it's very strong. Did you like the brown cheese?
I do, yeah. I can't eat a whole lot of it, but you know, I can have a little bit with it. But I like it. It's pretty unique. It tastes completely different than any like cheddar or Swiss or anything. I mean, it's
right.
It's very unique. It's very strong. It's a strong cheese. I can't eat too much of it, but I like it from time to time. Yeah, you can get it here in America. Here, yeah, and at some of the local grocery stores. And but yeah, it's unique.
But they have tons of cheese. I mean, tons of kinds of cheeses. And at the buffet lunches and things, they would have maybe 10 different kinds of cheeses. And some look like Swiss cheese and sort of American or Western, you know, Western European type of cheeses. But they had a lot of cheeses that were very different. And reindeer milk cheese and all kinds of stuff. And they were good. I tried many different kinds. And with the exception of the brown cheese. And I think the main problem there, I thought it was peanut butter. And so I instantly had a dislike for it. But it was good. It was all right, I'll say. As you say, it's very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And on a soggy waffle, it wasn't too good.
Yeah.
But fortunately, they sliced it thin. But
yeah.
The cheese is good.
Yeah.
And the food was excellent. The salads and the food was very, very good.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, Norway sounds like a fascinating place. I mean, beautiful. It sounds beautiful.
Well, they rank it, I rank it, and I think most people do, in the top five most beautiful countries in the world.
Really, top five.
And they say that this Norwegian coastal voyage is the most beautiful coastal voyage or the cruise in the world.
Really?
I don't know if I'd go that far,
okay.
Because as you go through the Chilean fjords, and as you go into some of the fjords in New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
They're beautiful, they're spectacular. But it is, as for 12 days, you're seeing this magnificent scenery. In fact, the last 3 days of the trip, you don't even look out anymore sometimes because you can only see so many fjords and so much beauty. And then I don't want to say it starts to look the same, and that's a horrible thing to say, but everybody was starting to say, she was beautiful, but they wouldn't go out and stare at it anymore.
Right.
And but it is spectacular, and everyone should go there. The, as you go farther north, it's more barren.
Oh.
I mean, like the moon. I mean, barren rock, and almost no trees in many parts. And it would have like a little mossy grass that the reindeer eat.
Oh, right.
And so it is definitely wind-swept. It reminds me of parts of the Dakotas.
Oh, okay.
And kind of wind-swept looking, and parts of some of Alaska, some of Canada, but well, that's where it is up there, but
yeah.
And latitude up there, so high up. But,
well, that's great. Yeah,
food's good, and the scenery's beautiful, and the people are very friendly, and they have good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And well, they're very, very healthy. And if you eat their food, as I said, you'll be very healthy, and you'll lose weight.
Mm-hmm. Everybody is pretty fit. Yeah, you see. Yeah.
Yes, it's amazing. Several of the Americans we met on the cruise had commented. They said, you know, there's no such thing as a heavyweight, overweight Norwegian.
Oh, really?
And well, their overweight Norwegian is not an American overweight by any stretch. They might be 10 pounds overweight.
All right.
And but most Norwegians are skinny. They're fit. They're buff and healthy. They walk. It wore me out in Oslo as I was walking around. I mean, these Oslo people just practically run. They walk everywhere. And we asked one girl, how do we, coming back from the Kon-Tiki Museum, we asked a girl, and she said, and this is on the harbor, which tram or which bus or however do we do to get back to our hotel? And she said, I don't know. She said, everybody walks here. And believe it or not, they do.
People
and they walk, you know, fast.
Yeah,
I mean, my heaven wears you out watching them.
They're cruising pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, oh, I've got it. We've got to mention this.
Okay.
The differences of Oslo and Bergen. Oslo is sort of like a commercial city. Very clean, very upscale, very well to do.
Okay.
People dress very well, and very classy type city. It'd be the Vienna, sort of Austria. And then Bergen is more like a Salzburg. It's very, my wife called it a hippie that didn't quite grow up. But they're not that, basically, you know, the long shaggy hair and drugged out on the street and anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But they are definitely very, very artsy.
Arts, okay.
Yes, they're the people that, they dress much more, what's the word? She called them hippies. But they're sloppy.
Oh,
they dress
okay.
much sloppier there in Bergen. It's more where people go for the arts and artists and musicians. And you hear musicians playing on the street, and they'll have their cases outside, you know, to collect money from people passing by. They had a group of five that played different brass instruments. And for about 3 hours they played, and they're from a lot right there they were. And great, wonderful. But it's a very different city. It's much more... Well, I guess it'd be more the L.A., and Oslo would be more the San Francisco.
Oh, okay, okay.
Type of a thing. They're very different cities, and you should visit both. Everyone that comes with something.
In Oslo, they have the Nobel Prize Museum, or the Nobel Peace
yes,
Museum
they do.
In Oslo? Oh,
they do.
Okay. Okay.
Well, the two main things that I liked about Oslo, and the reason I went back and to take my wife back, and the two most important things there, as far as I'm concerned, but they have probably 50 museums there, and I'm like, not exaggerating. And they're all interesting and unique. But one of them is, of course, the Nobel Peace Prize Center. And this is a museum and the headquarters where you can see the history of it. Very beautifully done, very classy, very upscale. And it's right on the harbor. In fact, as you take the ferry from the Kon-Tiki and the Ra Museum, it's on across the way. Across the fjord from the town of Oslo. You can drive a car or a bus all the way there, but or you can take the ferry across. But as you ride across, you can see them across the bay there. But the other one that I like is the Kon-Tiki and the Ra Museum, where you actually see the Kon-Tiki raft and the Ra raft that Thor Heyerdahl actually sailed. They have them inside the museum, and there's lots of things to look at and the history of it and pictures and stuff. It's very, very well done.
Oh, okay.
Very, you know, very classy. Both of these museums or something. But they have it in an auditorium where they actually give the Nobel Peace Prize. And I didn't go to that auditorium, but my wife wanted to see both of those. And they're the two most, probably the most famous museums that they have in all of Norway, are those two museums.
Okay.
And the other museum that I wanted to show my wife, not really a museum in the strictest sense, but in Bergen, outside of Bergen, about a 20-minute bus ride, and is Edvard Grieg's house. And it's a museum. They have a big museum, information center there as you go, and you pay your money to get in. Everything costs about $15 to enter. And you see that, and very well done, beautifully done. Then you walk maybe 100 yards, and there's this house, and you tour the house also. And then you walk down into a ravine-type thing, and they have a concert center. And you go in there, and it's beautiful. It holds probably 150 people. And when we got there, they were just starting a concert, a 45-minute concert, where two ladies played his music and sang some songs that inspired him to write some of his music from the old folk songs of Norway. And so those are the three museums that I wanted my wife to see, and we saw a couple of more interesting folk museums and historic museums and fishing museums and all these things. But they have a music museum, which is up north, that is wonderful, old instruments. And they also have one of the largest air museums. It represents the different aircraft that's made in the history of Norway that's up north. There's several museums all over. They're very nice.
Well, sounds good, Jerry. Yeah, it looks like we're out of time there. That was great. That was a good show there. And thank you so much for giving your insight after you getting back from Norway there. Appreciate it.
Oh, surely. Surely. Yeah. Just remember, when you go to Norway now, take tons of money, at least double. Double what you think you're going to spend, maybe triple, because you may spend it.
Right.
Because you may have to.
That's $19 for burger, fries, and a Coke or a soda.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
It's unreal.
Well, that's great. And make sure everybody can listen to the show at TravelAdviceShow.com or iTunes. You can listen to it on. You can subscribe to all our shows, our weekly shows. And well, till next week, Jerry. That sounds good. And,
all right.
Yeah.
And what are we talking about next week?
We're talking about the Caribbean islands.
Right.
We're going to talk about the different, all the different islands and which islands that you can explore. And yeah, that'd be great. And sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, Jerry. Well, till next week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Very good.